A reading from the second chapter of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you. That's nice. I'm Greg Meyer, pastor of Jacob's Hall, and it's just wonderful to have you all here. On these kind of special days, I always like just welcome everybody. You belong here, whether you know it or not. You know, if you're one of those people who just, you just go to church, that's great, and you're here. If it's one of those people, it's Christmas, therefore, you go to church. Or whether you're one of those people who's with people, and they're going to church, and you had no choice, welcome. All right. Hopefully we're going to make this worth your while. You need to know that we aren't here to convince you that you're supposed to believe anything or accept anything or whatever. We are here gathered around this idea that I think Christmas is all about. It's much deeper than the commercial versions of Christmas. It's much deeper than even a lot of the cozy and fun traditions that we have as family and as churches, no matter how fun and wonderful and good those are. It's about something really deeper, this idea that whatever God is, and I think we all agree that we can never wrap our heads or hearts around what that possibly could even mean when we say God, but when God begins to break into our world, stuff gets different, and we start experiencing a world that is different, a world that we need to make room for, which is sort of what we're talking about tonight, this whole idea of making room. You know how it is with people. We like order. And we impose order kind of everywhere we go. I think about the messages to our kids, put your shoes away, unpack your lunch, and don't leave everything on the counter, and your coat goes in the back hall, and why are your clothes all over your bedroom floor? Aren't you afraid you're going to step on them, and they're going to get lost? And, we do that, but the big thing is we don't just do that with stuff, we do it with people. We tell people where they belong, where we want them. And it isn't where they belong so much as where we would like them to belong because it's more convenient or less reprehensible to us if they were there. And in fact, if we don't really understand these people and we're not really comfortable with these people because of language, because of culture, because of habits, because of history, because of personality, I'm just thinking through some of the people I know and naming the factors, we would rather that they would just kind of go away and not belong be anywhere. And that really isn't what it's about. But that is what was happening in that story that we just heard the beginning of the birth of Jesus, where the rulers of that day, Caesar Augustus, Quirinius, who's in charge of that part of the world where Jesus was born, they wanted some order. In fact, they had some reasons for wanting some order, so they wanted to know how many people there are and where they all were, so they made everybody go back to the city of their ancestors. Therefore, Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because that's where Joseph's family hailed from. So they went. And what we see there from the very beginning is that in this world that is ordered by people, Joseph and Mary really didn't fit into it. They knew what they had to do because of the order that was being imposed, but it didn't really work for them, did it? They just kind of got stuck, which I think is kind of a sign for us that when God breaks into the world, it doesn't really fit in the world that we have neatened up and ordered and made for ourselves. A sign then and a sign today because, frankly, God wasn't just born a couple thousand years ago. God is born this very night, every night, every day. And God breaks in, and the world that we try to make nice and neat and orderly really doesn't have a place for God, and we need to make room. But that's just the beginning of the story.
While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Because there was no room for them in the inn. seems like there's never room for God when God breaks in, wherever God happens to be breaking in. But does it stop God from coming? No room in the end. Did it stop Jesus from showing up? No. God breaks in. Jesus shows up. The world gets changed whether we thought we had room for it or not.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart.
You know, something very rare happened inside those shepherds that night. We just kind of expect it to happen because that's what happens in the story, right? But think about it. These guys did not know that they were going to be some of the main characters in the story that was probably to be told more than any other story in the history of humanity. They were not waiting just off stage, waiting to come in. They were shepherds shepherding. My guess is they were thinking mostly about getting through this night and whether there was something they could do other than being the person who had to be with the sheep all night for the rest of their lives. You know, that was really about. But something happened and made them make room for something different to be going on in their lives. And so rather than just being shepherds who were being about shepherding, at least that night, and my guess is for a couple of days beyond that, they were really the ones who saw God being born into this world and who would tell anyone who would listen what was happening in the world right now. That was what maybe was going on in those shepherds. They were making room for something. At our house these days, we were busy opening up the table and putting in more leaves in the table to make room for our family, and that was all coming around. We were busy rearranging bedrooms and stuff like that to make room for everyone. We were even busy making room in the refrigerator so we could somehow get all the food in there that we were going to have to feed everybody. That's kind of what you do. That's how we make room and how we do it. There are some family gatherings and that are going on these days and parties that you're going to, maybe that aren't quite so much fun. Maybe that person, he or she who shall not be named, was going to be there, and you're going to have to either put up with them or endure them or something. Sometimes making room for people isn't quite just all fun and games. Sometimes it's what we have to do and what is going to be needed from us. But I think we all have to admit, when we can back away from some of the emotions we feel at the moment, that this idea of making room for others, making room not just for people but for this world, this universe of things that God values and treasures and cherishes, making room for these things is good. There's something healthy about it. There's something bigger than life about it that we know we're participating in when we make room for others. God breaks into our world not to just upset things, but God wants to turn our world and turn us as people into the kind of people who make room for other people. God doesn't want those who suffer because no one has given space for them to not have space. God doesn't want those who feel like they don't have a place in our world, to have to do something, to force themselves, to demand it. I mean, making room for other people or making room for other things isn't just about giving physical space for them, but sometimes that is what it boils down to. You can't help but think about the hundreds of thousands of Syrians surging into Europe just looking for a place where they can exist. You can't help think about the Black Lives Matter movement taking over the Mall of America and on into the airport yesterday. I'm not going to get into whether this was a good idea or not, or it's justifiable or not. We'll let you guys can figure out the complexities of that over dinner tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon. But the big point, I think, of it is the whole reason this movement exists is that we have enormous parts of our population who feel they have not been given room in among us as a society. And that has been so devastating for them as a people and as individuals that they're now having to knock doors down just to find room for themselves. God doesn't want us to be the people who just grudgingly give space to other people. God is trying to transform us into the kind of people who welcome, who know that this is good, this is healthy, this is bigger than life kind of stuff when we make room for other people. It's the kind of stuff that is good to be about. God wants us to not grudgingly give up space, but to eagerly be welcoming. God wants us to be a world full of possibility and hope, not a world that's based off of worry and fear. And so God breaks in and does these kinds of things. Two things to think about. One I kind of mentioned already, but when God breaks in and makes room, whether we're ready for it or not, whether we want to make room for it or not, it happens. God comes. The world changes. That uncle comes to the party, whether you want him to or not. The baby gets born. The new technology, the new cultural movement, the new whatever it is happens. And whether you like status quo or are ready for a change, it happens. God wants us to have open hearts, welcome hearts, hearts that see that possibility and that hope. The other thing, the last thing that I think fits in this is maybe the most significant two words in that story of the birth of Jesus. There are two words that are repeated two times in that story that most people overlook. It's just two words that are in there. They don't even hear them happen. But I think they maybe are more significant to what that story is about than any of the others. Let me just tell you the part where they show up and you see if you can catch them. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. What were the two words that are repeated twice? For you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. We're tempted to hear the story as cosmic and archetypal and stuff like that. But you know, it's really just personal. I mean, it's for you. God's asking and wanting you to know how much you are loved, how important you are, and that God does all this to make room for you. Because, see, what God knows is that for all these changes, all the stuff that needs to happen in the world, all the things that we need to be part of making room for others for, if it doesn't start inside us, if we don't make room for ourselves within ourselves, we'll never be able to do it for other people as well. So that maybe is the question. Are you making room? Or how much room do you have for yourself and for who you are? And can we truly welcome the stranger? Can we truly love the unlovable? Can we truly embrace the uncomfortable if we do not welcome the stranger in ourselves or embrace the uncomfortable or love the unlovable of ourselves? So how much room can you make for yourself? Do you realize just how invaluable, how irreplaceable, how unique and wonderful you are? And that's despite any mistakes, any warts, any flaws and imperfections you might have, just who you are. Because that is the one thing that God wants you to know, the one thing that the universe is trying to teach you. For you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. So in prayer, Take a deep breath. End of maybe a long day for most of us, maybe not over yet. Be present and know that this gift is for you. And let that dwell in you and make you so fully present and aware of God's love and the wonder that you are, that it is only your instinct to reach out with open arms to others around you. May it be so. Amen.